This is the Krillcast Live. I'm your host, Chris, with the Krillcast, and we have our featured... No, I'm just kidding. I'm Chris.
And I'm Andrew. Welcome to the Krillcast.
We have no guests today. Andrew's not a guest. He is a co-host. All right. So, if you didn't see the title is Apple is the largest gaming company, and that is a fact on planet Earth. And the reason is why, Andrew. That's what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of obvious when you think about it.
It really is. Like, how many people have one of these in their hands they can game on any day of the week?
Yeah. Largest market of phones and the walled garden that some people love, some people hate.
Preference. I prefer it. There's a lot more, not app preferential treatment, but rather preferential treatment that they won't put bad actors on their store.
Yeah, I would say I fall into the same camp where I do prefer the walled garden of Apple phones just because it's probably good for the average person more than anything. Like, I wouldn't want to give my grandma an Android phone.
Well, it's easier to use, like, too. There's that.
Well, yeah, there's quality control is basically what it comes down to. And when you think about it, most people don't really realize how much vulnerability there is with your cell phone. It really is a key to your life. And at least trying to prevent bad actors from joining that walled garden, you need something, you know?
So this comes off the heels of some... I've made some videos on this previously in the year. I'm probably going to make a couple more videos about this, but this comes off the heels of Apple dominating the gaming platform. It was something that was really surprising to me, but the more I think about it, the less surprising it is. Apple's making a case that it's better to be the platform than the creator. I think Steam would agree with that.
It's the same. It really is the same.
The tech giant made more from gaming than Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo, Activision, Blizzard combined in fiscal 2019, despite not making any games themselves. So, yeah, it was brought about because of the Epic Games lawsuit. That they found out that on paper, Apple made $8.5 billion in operating profit from just gaming. And I think this is pre-Apple Arcade?
Yeah.
Oh, no, here we go. Sure. No, it was right as Apple Arcade was coming out. So it says...
It would be pre because it was as it was coming out.
So this company services sector, which includes App Store and its subscription gaming platform, Apple Arcade, earned $17.49 billion in net sales. That's saying that gaming made about half of their total revenue from the App Store.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, think of how they make money from games in the App Store, though. There's the third, like, as it says up there, the 30% charge, you know? Think of all the advertisement that goes into those games. Most people just get the free game. They don't get the actual paid version.
Right.
So it's like, that's an endless revenue stream. If someone thinks that, like, Facebook makes a killing off of advertisement, just think of Apple games. Like, you know, the person is active. It's funny that
Apple advertising, you'd never think of the advertising sector of Apple because most people just associate the devices, the App Store, and then, like, Apple TV, Apple Music. Nobody thinks about the advertising aspect, but I'm sure that's a huge profit for them.
Think about this. It has to be the biggest part of it because think of how much money Facebook makes, right? Mm-hmm. And you're just scrolling.
You're doom scrolling, right?
And you're not even, like, paying attention. But Apple can literally say, this person is intently playing a game. Your advert will pop up. In between whatever. So it's like they know for a fact that their product will show up on a screen that you have full attention on because it's engaging content, not simply doom scrolling content.
And as our favorite Activision Blizzard Diablo maker pointed out, not everybody has a computer, but just about every person has one of these. Yes. They all got phones.
That's true.
You remember that famous, horrible, stupid decision to say that? Diablo Immortal. There's a couple of people that I know have spent over 10 grand on that game already.
Why?
Don't ask me. There was an article I just saw the other day. Somebody spent 15K to get their perfect Diablo Immortal
key. I just want to point out that that's a car. I just want to point out that that's a car. That's a lifetime supply of new iPhones. But just pointing that out, brand new iPhones.
That's true. Like, if you buy them every 2 years, 15
every
grand.
Every 2 years for
a grand. For $1,000 each. Years.
That's like three years, but by the time years. You're that old, come on. Goodbye.
Fair enough. It's like a life sentence. It's all good.
If you're buying them from age 20 up, then you might as well just get the jitterbug once you're 60. Come on. Like.
So the thing I want to point out, though, is Apple Arcade, although doesn't state it or act like it directly competes with Xbox right. Game Pass, it totally does.
It does if they want to expand it.
Exactly. Like, imagine one day Xbox moves into your cloud gaming hardcore. Like, they really get into it. If mm-hmm. Apple just pushes the Apple TV a little bit more, they're right. looking at a dedicated gaming console in your living room with mm-hmm. Apple TV, Apple Music, Apple Gaming, everything.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like literally what they wanted the Xbox One to be in 2013, like your ultimate mm-hmm. media machine. The Apple TV is already there, and I have one. They're really nice.
Yeah, all they have to do is flip the switch on it, and you're streaming games.
And I have tried Apple Arcade. I did a one-month trial of it. Mm-hmm. There's actually some good games on there. Oceanhorn 2 is basically Breath of the Wild for Apple users. It's a good game. It's on the Switch, too, but...
Yeah,
if you don't have a Switch, then you got Oceanhorn.
What I'm saying is, if they just flip the Switch on better quality games...
Yeah.
And it's basically Game Pass at that point.
Imagine, like, next year, Apple comes out, like, middle of June... And they say, we're upping the cost of Apple Arcade to, I don't know, $7.99 or $9.99, mm-hmm. or bringing AAA developers on board. Like, well, let's say they bought Ubisoft or something insane. Can you imagine how many people would be like, all right, Assassin's Creed is only on Apple. I'm buying an Apple TV.
Here's the thing, because we always talk about in the past with Netflix being interested in Ubisoft because they're doing their game thing, but also the IP for TV shows. But... You got to remember that that's just as tantalizing to Apple with their Apple like TV Plus subscription and everything. And they're going all out on trying to get new shows for that, just content in general, because they just paid an obscene amount for MLS exclusivity for their Apple TV. So Apple has all the money in the world to throw around.
They're like Microsoft. It's like having another Microsoft in the gaming industry. Yeah.
And they can only buy so much of their own shares of stock at this rate. Like, they have to start buying something else.
So I did read somewhere that one of the reasons Microsoft went hardcore on Activision Blizzard was because there was a potential exclusivity deal being approached by Apple for Call of Duty on Apple mobile. Products. Yeah, both mobile.
Oh yeah, they did Apple Arcade. They did the mobile game for Call of Duty,
and it was very successful.
It was. That would make sense, actually. Okay.
So that was one of the big pushes. I mean, imagine if mm-hmm. Call of Duty went exclusively Apple.
I mean, how would that work? Would they really give up the consoles, though? That seems...
Depends on how much money, I suppose.
I mean, fair enough, but that just seems like they'd be giving up way too much money. Consoles.
I know that Microsoft did it to protect console gaming. They bought it. They bought.
Well, they did it to protect their console gaming.
Well, and they protect Game Pass at the same time.
It was Game Pass, yeah.
So here's something interesting. Let's go into this now. Apple Music and Apple Arcade earned $8.2 billion. And you think that's a huge number, but then think about Apple Music's probably a huge chunk of that. So mm-hmm. let's go down.
Well, it is a huge chunk.
$7 billion of it was Apple Music, but $1.2 billion, Apple Arcade. Mm-hmm. That's more than I would have expected from just that's not including
and gaming that's not, purchases. That's not the free games that you get. That's literally the subscription to their catalog of games.
So yeah, $1.2 billion was made off of Apple Arcade subscriptions,
which is their equivalent to Game Pass.
It's the mobile Game Pass, essentially.
Yeah,
that's crazy to me. Like, I can't believe that many people signed up.
That's a thing. That's a lot when you think about it, because. Think, when have you ever really seen Apple Arcade advertised to you as a subscription?
When it first came out, pretty much the only time.
Yeah, but like as a person, if you play a game on your phone, when's the last time you've actually been advertised to about like Apple Arcade?
Just for the record, that's approximately 240 million at least one month subscriptions. So it's at least mm-hmm. 240 million people or 240 million months worth of subscriptions. So I don't know how, like, if you divide that by 12, let's see how many 1 year long that would be. Back to divide by 12. Let's see how many years. So, whoops, my math isn't working here. Divided by 12. That's approximately 20 million year-long subscriptions. So they've sold a minimum 20 million year-long subscriptions.
How long do you think
almost as many users as Game Pass?
How long do you think it takes Apple to make to kind of go more the Amazon route though, and make like a small Prime
game studio?
No, Apple Prime.
That technically exists. I think it's like called Apple. I think it's called like Apple One.
Is it where you get every service they have?
Okay. I think they have that. I'm gonna check my phone right now because I got advertised something like that recently.
Because Apple Music plus Arcade plus their TV service, that's three different subscriptions.
I do believe there is a thing you can get with all of them. I'm just loading up my subscriptions tab on my phone to see. I don't remember. It came up once. I swore there was like an all-inclusive Apple thing.
And the thing people forget too is if you get subscriptions to other things, it's very easy to just link that to your Apple TV.
Oh, totally. Yeah, Apple One. It's Apple One.
How much is that?
I'm going to Google it because I don't want to click try it now and accidentally activate it.
That's fair because it will it will totally do that.
Oh, it definitely will. All right, let's see. Apple One subscription. Okay, let's see. Apple One is the ultimate collection of Apple services. Let me pull it and put it back into the tab here.
All right.
Oops. As I'm like losing my brain. Here we go. Okay, Apple One. Even better together. Trap One free. So they don't even want to tell you.
Let's look what's included.
Oh, 15 bucks.
$15 for music, TV, arcade, and cloud
storage. That's actually pretty insane. That's, even for the family plan.
That's a good deal.
That's
plus if you do the premiere though, look at that premiere one. You get the news plus and fitness plus. I have no idea what those are.
I don't need curated news by Apple.
That's true. I don't need the curated news. But it's a way to get around I've noticed that a lot of the websites that they actually link those to make you pay for a subscription to read it anyway.
I think News Plus gives you like a synopsis of articles.
News Plus actually lets you read articles that you can't read on the website without a subscription.
That's what I thought. Yeah. So like they pay people get paid by Apple to let you read them.
Yeah, basically.
But honestly, music, TV plus arcade and iCloud 50 gigs, that's kind of worth it to not have that iCloud message pop up every time I take a picture.
How much was Apple Music on its own? Because Apple TV is like $5.
Okay. Arcade and TV are both $5 because it says you save.
Are they $5.99 or $4.99?
No, I believe they're $4.99. I think, although music, I think, is $9.99.
So basically, if you use two of those services, you might as well.
I mean, if I had music and arcade, I might as well just upgrade to the one with TV Plus.
Right.
100%.
Because I use I already have the Apple TV myself.
I like Apple TV personally.
Yeah. Ted Lasso, man.
But think about this. With this, you get for $15 a month, you get access to the largest library of music in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You get the TV Plus subscription, which is getting pretty decent content. I have to say that Prehistoric thing was pretty cool. I don't know if you've seen that yet.
The one with the dinosaurs. I haven't seen any commercials for it. So
it's like Planet Earth with dinosaurs, and it's narrated by everybody's favorite David Attenborough. So it's got that really crisp, nice British narrative
voice. Right.
And then the Apple Arcade, which has some pretty good games, which we'll get into in just a little bit. Remember this, $1.2 billion Apple Arcade. Xbox Game Pass is only, and this is a three times the amount cost for Game Pass versus Apple Arcade, is only making $3.74 billion.
But to be fair,
it's like scales up. It's almost identical in price when you think about subscription cost versus revenue.
Right.
Subscription cost versus revenue.
To be fair, Microsoft is acquiring significantly bigger titles.
It is, no doubt.
So they're not the same. They're the same, but they're not the same. Apple literally just found the way to print money much better than Microsoft did. That's all it is, because the amount of effort for Game Pass versus Apple Arcade is obscene. So like Apple's printing all that money without half the effort.
Oh yeah, I mean they're just paying, like, they're paying off a bunch of small mobile devs.
Yeah.
To have their games on the platform, and they're not bad games.
And those devs want to put those games on that platform anyway. Apple right. just finds titles that they can acquire for the right price to make a subscription service more valuable than the in-game advertisement. That's all they're mm-hmm. doing. And it's probably working pretty well if they're making $1.2
billion. I mean, that's just, I'm double-checking my numbers. That's basically exactly three times. Let's see, 3.74 divided by 1.2.
It's not exact.
Xbox Game Pass is making a little over three times. It has
0.14 more.
But I would bet, because that's revenue, right? That's not actual profit. I would bet Apple's profit margin is much better.
Well, wasn't 1.2 the profit for Apple? I thought that was profit. No, that was revenue also.
Okay. It's revenue, yeah. So I would say the Apple's profit margin is probably much better.
Probably. Seeing as it's like a fraction.
They probably have it set up to where each download is certain a number of payback for the developer. It's like, well, really your best customers are the ones that probably pay for the service and never use it.
In fairness, they probably get it where the games get added to it, to the arcade, after they get the offer once they've had so many downloads to show that there's like strong appeal for the game. And then it just becomes a boasting for Apple Arcade without the advertisement or something. But they've already probably made, they're probably double dipping. That's my take. I believe there's probably like a double dip where they get a bunch of revenue from the in-game advertisement until it proves itself popular. Then they're like, well, we're just going to move it into Arcade now. And it's going to become less popular once it's in Arcade.
There have been quite a few games, though, that they paid exclusivity prior to the launch. So, like, for example, okay. Oceanhorn 2, they paid for exclusivity before it launched, and they had 1 year of exclusivity before the devs moved it to the Switch. So now it's on the Switch and Apple at the same time.
So they're competing for more indie titles then at this point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, look, here's a Fold Apart. We'll just scroll through it, and we'll see. If you see anything that looks interesting, you know, stop mm-hmm. it. But like there's 240 games here. 240 for this service.
Angry That's Birds. I'm
curious. I'm curious how many games are on Game Pass.
Right. I mean
there are man obviously
hours to make the game though. I bet the man hours to make the game is significantly higher on it.
Oh no, catalog no for doubt. Like well, yeah. Then again, but it could take the same amount of time. Okay, so 300 games on Game Pass. Okay. So there's still more games. But remember, mm-hmm. Game Pass games, a lot of them are like older games they paid to bring into the service.
Right.
So like right. these are games that have already
it's
been
not actually
sold
curated. If we're being it's honest, curated. It's not a curated list. It's just what can we get
everything
on
that Microsoft has access to, and then they pay for contracts and new things.
Whereas Apple isn't producing. Where no, Apple isn't curating. Producing the games. They're just curating. So you're getting a catalog. It's like a playlist.
Yeah, it's just like music.
Yeah.
Asphalt, so that's like a Need for Speed style mm-hmm. mobile racer. I don't know what Assemble with Care is. Backgammon Plus, okay, whatever. Badland
they
Party.
Don't
so here's another one. They're paying for an exclusive one coming soon here. It's Badland Party. Baldo, don't know what that is. Ballistic Baseball, no idea.
Beyond Steel Sky.
And that looks like a more interesting one. It's a point and click, so it works good for mobile.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond Blue, chilled scuba diving.
But to be fair, you have to like...
What do you have time to do? What do you have time to do is another question. Do you have time to invest in Game Pass and make it worth it? Most of the time, it's not worth it for me, except that I get offers for relatively cheap Game Pass all the time. Mm-hmm. So I use that to get my Game Pass on the cheap. But in general, who has time to invest enough time into Game Pass games to make it worth it? I really don't.
Right. There's there's this weird middle ground between games because you want to buy so many games already,
mm-hmm.
given your style of ownership, right?
Yeah, and I don't care for, like, I like the convenience of not having to put a disc in my system, but half the time when I'm playing a Game Pass game, it's sitting on my shelf right here. I don't even need to pay for Game Pass to play that game, but it is convenient to have Game Pass and not have to put the disc in.
So I'll say this. I think we brought it up in the past. I think both Microsoft and Apple are targeting parents more than anything.
They're targeting me. I have time to play these Apple Arcade games where I don't.
No. I mean parents who are trying to make the most economical
Castlevania game
choice for their children's game. I mean,
that's true.
Like, I will bet a ton of money that a large amount of Apple Arcade subscriptions are parents who let their young children play their phone.
A lot of these games are child safe, child friendly.
Yes. So I would bet a lot of money that Apple Arcade subscriptions are driven highly by parents with small children.
We all like creating play right. plus.
It makes sense when you think about it. And then Game Pass is targeting parents with teenagers. I think they're kind of complementary in the long run.
You're probably right.
But I do think Apple has targeted the smarter market. Just think of how many young children accidentally buy things from their parents' phone.
That's so a fact.
They're buying things from the
Now they can hand the phone to their kid and say, use the Apple Arcade games. I don't have to pay for those.
Right. Well, they are paying for them. But
no, I don't have to pay any more money for them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, some
the titles look interesting.
Gungeon's a good game. It's Enter the Gungeon's the one that's already out. Exit the Gungeon must be an Apple exclusive, I think. Sequel, or maybe it isn't. But
I love the three-word review, and it's game. Funny. No, but for Fallen Knight, they're just like Mega Man wannabe.
That's funny. Fantasian is a classic JRPG. So this is Legendary Final Fantasy game. Oh, this is by the guy who made Final Fantasy. That's pretty cool, actually.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. The titles aren't bad, especially if you're a person with small children.
I played this one. Frogger in Toy Town is pretty neat, actually.
Is it?
Yeah, it's got some work to do to get the Apple TV port working better, but it's pretty decent.
This is original Ninja. Apple Showcase. So
Fruit Ninja Class. Yeah, I played all of the original ones back when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
I should have done a review, but I didn't. Oh, they got a Game of Thrones Tale of Crows. Apparently you're building a wall, so it's probably like a castle defense game.
Mm-hmm.
This would have been a better game to come out, you know, before Game of Thrones Season 8.
You know, that...
Yeah, you know what? I would pay for a good Sudoku app. Every Sudoku app I have is loaded with ads that I don't want to look at.
I just accept ads on some of those little arcade-style games.
So Grindstone, I think, was an Apple-funded game. This is one of the ones that Apple has funded development.
It's one of those games. Okay, I see what it is.
That's pretty neat.
Those are interesting. Not my style.
Guildlings. Quirky RPG is part visual. Oh, visual novels are good. So that's the thing with mobile. You have to hit the right style of game where you can play with a touchscreen unless you want people to buy a controller. And some games are fine with and without.
That's one of those things where I'm curious what Apple's long-term plan is, given the fact that they have that whole little Apple TV box. And
listen, okay, my favorite modern controller is the one that Apple sells.
Really?
Like, my absolute favorite modern controller. I'll show you what it looks like. It's my favorite modern controller by far. It's, in my opinion, got the best feel. It's better than a Switch Pro controller. It's really nice. It's called the Nimbus Plus.
Would it be under the TV and home?
No, this is it right here.
Okay.
Nimbus Plus. This is my favorite controller ever made. It's got all the control. It's a $70 controller. It's the same price as like the app. I got mine for like $25 on eBay. It was brand new. It was a disgustingly broken box. It's just an awful looking box.
This is literally an Apple accessory.
I still have the box. It's sitting up on my... Yeah. This is an app. It's made by SteelSeries, who makes pretty good Android controllers too. But this is one of the best controllers I have ever held in my hands. And it has a pretty nice accessory for gaming on the go. So you can see that little maybe I'll demonstrate this later, but this controller has a super nice cradle for your phone, and it can adjust to any size iPhone, and you can put it in, take it out, like it's nobody's business.
And does it link up with the Apple TV box?
Yeah. Does Apple TV, it does iPad, it does iPhone, it does Mac, it does anything Apple makes, it links up with pretty much automatically.
All right. So they're basically making it where you could do anything you want with that.
That D-pad is amazing. That is the best D-pad. It's a very clicky D-pad, so if you don't like clicky D-pads, then you won't like it. But I love clicky D-pads. Okay. It's probably got micro switches under it. It's really nice. But it rolls real nice. It's easy. It's like click, click, click. Maybe I'll grab it before the podcast is over. It's just sitting in my room over there. All right. But this is my favorite modern controller. And you get 4 months free of Apple Arcade if you buy one. So there you go. That's
they're selling it. Yeah.
All right, back to where we're at. Hex, if you want to play any of these games with a controller, that's the controller I would buy.
It's definitely one of those things where they can do anything they want. Then, if they have that controller, they have.
Oh yeah, they paid SteelSeries a lot of money to make that, because they had a different one before that, but the previous one did not have. The last that one was 2019. It came out right around the time of Apple Arcade. Mostly because SteelSeries didn't want to lose the Apple Arcade contract.
Okay, so they kind of have this. They made moves right before COVID, basically.
Yeah.
So I guess it's kind of a. It kind of makes you wonder what their plans are, since COVID kind of put a lot of things on hold, with uncertainty and stuff. But
I would say that mobile gaming probably got more attention.
No, but I'm saying, like, if they had longer term plans for like making more AAA titles.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. But the thing with this is, like, before this one, there was the SteelSeries Nimbus No Plus, just regular Nimbus, and it did not have the extra dedicated buttons for the Apple TV. If you look there, that home button, those dots, and that menu, those are all Apple TV related buttons. They work on the iPhone for things, but they're made for the Apple TV. Oh, and it has R3, L3 clickable joysticks. That was added. I think that's it. But the previous controller did not have clickable joysticks because Apple didn't even support that prior to the Steel update for the Apple gaming and whatnot. And then after they added that, of course, they had to update their controller to compete with the new controllers that were compatible with Apple. The Xbox One controller and the PS4 and now the PS5 controller and the Xbox Series X controllers, which are also compatible with the iPhone. But this is the perfect iPhone, Apple TV, Apple product controller.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
Maybe they're going to be a dark horse. Who knows?
I've always thought Apple was ready to. I think they're just waiting for the M1 chip to hit all of their products, and then boom, gaming.
Right.
Let's see here. So Hitchhiker is a mystery game, and you must solve, because if you can develop for one chip across all of Apple's devices, imagine how powerful that is. That's more important than Unreal Engine.
How does that make you evaluate Nintendo, though?
Nintendo has one product. It makes it way easier to develop for.
No. Hurting Nintendo. I feel like Nintendo's whole strength for Nintendo has always been their IP, though.
They have IP and they have a dedicated gaming device. Let's say this. If I have a Nintendo device and my Apple device, which one am I grabbing every time? My Nintendo device every time. No contest.
Here's my fine, but like you're getting a Steam Deck.
Yep.
If Apple makes their iPad a gaming device, like legit for gaming, and you're getting legit titles on the iPad.
No, the iPad's never gonna take the place of gaming for me. Like I just don't like gaming on the iPad.
If they make you a good controller attachment,
they already have.
I'm just saying, if there's a good way to play it.
Have you seen?
Yeah, I prefer Nintendo, as the comment in the chat says, but it's one of those things where Nintendo needs to step up how they play with third parties. And the quality of third-party gaming.
Have you seen this thing? This is basically the dedicated iPhone.
Yeah.
Gaming. It makes like a Switch. Basically. I still would prefer a Nintendo device over this. And this is actually more easy to hold than Nintendo. But like, this is like the premier, like Game Pass is marketed with this. Like, you can use your iPhone.
I guess I'm just saying that, like, with Nintendo, you're in a walled garden that's kind of shitty. Because it's a walled garden that if anything comes through, it's that's third party, it's not good. If you're given the choice
between Monster Hunter Rise has come through, and that's a good game, actually.
I'm saying, like, a lot of the AAA titles that you would want to play.
Shin Megami Tensei 5.
You're not going to play Assassin's Creed on the Switch versus any other console.
It depends on why you're on your Switch.
Play FIFA on my Switch versus
the Ezio trilogy's on there, and that's a better way to play than breaking out an old Xbox 360 that you don't have hooked up.
I'm just saying.
If you want to play new Assassin's Creed, you're probably not buying Nintendo device. If you want to play Nintendo IPs and you want access to some other third-party games, you buy a Switch.
That's what I'm saying. You have to want Nintendo's games specifically.
I do agree with you. I think Apple Arcade is directly competing with the Switch, regardless of how I feel about that, you know, that information. I think the Steam Deck is directly competing with the Switch, although not nearly as difficult or as hard as the Apple Arcade is. I think Apple Arcade is eating into the Switch pretty hard.
Okay, I'll put it this way. The Switch is being competed with by Apple and Steam Deck because the Switch has really not given a crap about things that are higher graphics intensive gaming.
They don't care about that.
They don't care about it. So there's clearly a market for someone who wants a more performance based mobile gaming platform. So it's like
But I will say this, like, Lego is a perfect added thing. Like, look, you got Lego Brawls, which is basically Super Smash Bros. Meets Capture the Flag, apparently. There's Lego Builders Journey. Lego and mobile makes so much sense. I don't know why this hasn't been a bigger thing. How many Lego games?
The thing that I'm surprised about with Legos is that they haven't tried to make a Lego game. Yes.
Lego Craft?
Yeah. That's what surprises me, because it's basically what they were meant for. And Lego World, that's all they would have to be. And
well, I mean, this is kind of like that. Lego Builder's Journey.
Kind of like that, yeah.
A deep and meaningful Lego game. Oh, that's interesting.
Okay, let me put it this way. Think of all the things that Lego has rights to.
A lot.
Everything.
And Lego Star Wars sells really well.
Exactly that comment. No, but like, think about it. Lego has like proprietary rights to so many things to use.
They really do.
No one doesn't want Lego to have their IP as like
children's game. Do you think about this? How was Lego's IP in the early 2000s? Lego was about to go bankrupt.
Yeah. But they turned it around.
What's funny is Lego actually, between the 90s and like 2010, between that time frame, was at their lowest point ever, because they moved away from getting franchise licensing to build sets to trying to do their own thing for a while. And then they realized, like, a lot of their marketing power comes from co-marketing with Star Wars, co-marketing with Indiana Jones.
That they forgot is that they are the children's world. And they're the portal for bigger titles to go to children and build future fans. And if Lego doesn't understand that, then they would be missing out on tons of success. And
what's the funniest thing ever is their most popular thing they ever came out with that was original was Bionicle.
Yeah.
Bionicle is what saved them in the early 2000s, and then they were able to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were able to make a whole multimedia franchise out of Bionicle, which was pretty cool, actually. Right. I had quite a few of them.
I just think they need to make a better universe.
Do that. Monster Hunter Stories is on Apple Arcade.
the games on Apple Arcade, what we're seeing, you know.
Yeah, you're right, NBA 2K, yeah. That was on there. And 20, you get 2021 and 2022. Look at that.
Arcade edition, though, so.
I know. I won't say this, or I will say this. Apple Arcade does not have a list of games that would make me convinced I don't want Nintendo, PlayStation, or Xbox. What it does convince me of is that for $5, it is worth having if you want to have games on the go.
I think if you're a parent with kids and you want to parent by just giving them
it's not what iPad, you, obviously.
Yeah, it's at least a large percentage of the population out there.
This is probably the best game on the entire Apple Arcade, Oceanhorn 2. It is available on the Switch, but this is like a Breath of the Wild game on Apple products, and it was a timed exclusivity of at least 1 year.
How are the controls?
It's like Breath of the Wild. It's the same controls. When you pair with the Nimbus Plus controller, it's like if you were playing Breath of the Wild with a Switch Pro controller.
Okay.
Same idea. And like I said, the Nimbus Plus is my favorite controller ever. Modern controller, wireless. I still like
the 360. The game looks very pretty. So it's like
it is a great game.
If Apple was to pursue more of these,
it looks like they already have. Oceanhorn Chronos Dungeon.
No. I'm saying titles similar, not just Oceanhorn. I'm saying if they're targeting that style of like indie developer, it's.
Oh man, no, look at that. They basically made, I didn't even know this one came out. I might have to check this one out. This is looks like a Link to the Past.
They went retro.
That's pretty cool. Because they had the first Oceanhorn is pretty retro. I've had that one since it launched, essentially. I love Oceanhorn. It's a really fun game. But I did not know they created another one. Cornfax and Brothers Limited is a company that has closely partnered with Apple on all of their releases. So Apple has constantly gone back to them for more games. And they're really small dev team, actually. All right, Oddmar Plus. You've got Beautiful Viking Adventure. Okay. Operator 41, real-time Hitman Go.
That Outlanders game looks interesting.
I don't care for that art style, but it looks pretty cool. It looks like a sim game of some sort.
Yeah, I mean, I've bought games like that for PC, I'm not going to lie.
I think with a mouse, it would play better, personally. Yeah, I don't want to use touchscreen for it. Apple has added mouse controls to iPad.
Okay, I guess I'm just saying that like the style of that game is a game that I would play, is what I'm saying. Maybe not on an iPad.
Hey, they have mouse controls. Like, they legit have added mouse controls to iPad. I'm waiting for Age of Empires to hit the iPad. That would be really interesting to see. Overland, Faster Than Light Road Trip Editions. This is like a F-Zero style game. No, it's not. What's Faster Than Light? No, that can't be what I'm talking about. I don't see what that is. Turn-based is definitely not Faster Than Light. I have no idea what that is. Okay. Over the Alps, Alpine Adventure. They paid for this one, Pac-Man Party Royale.
Yeah, Pilgrims down there. What are they doing?
Painty Mob, Patterned
Pilgrims. Oh, it's a card adventure. That's
Charming Card Adventure. It looks like it's kind of like a board game, though, not like a trading card game. And it could be fun. Puzzles throughout your travels, quirky as they come. Populous Run, Follow the Crowd. Oh, I've seen these. These are interesting games. Possessions, as if we don't have enough of those in America already. All right.
You know, I'm wondering how Netflix intends to do with like their games, because
it's a free download game that you log in with your Netflix account, and then that's how you get access. That's how they do it.
That's how they're doing it.
Okay. Yeah, you have to go download it. It's free. It says Netflix or whatever. Or I think in the Android store, some of the contracts hadn't expired yet, so they had to create a second version of the app that was like the Netflix version, and then you got free access to it.
Okay, so you go physically download that game, and then
I think you can still pay directly for the game, but you have to have a Netflix account to use it. Projection First Light, a platformer with eerie vibe. Punch Planet, a sci-fi.
Oh, you got Rayman Mini. That was good.
That's another. It's an auto runner.
Yeah.
And it was specifically paid for, I think, by Apple.
Mm.
Really bad Chess Plus. It's chess, but really
no
bad.
Rules. It has no rules.
What?
Yeah.
That sounds like fun and horrible at the same time. So Redout, if you don't know what Redout is, it's basically an F-Zero mm-hmm. clone, but it's much more high quality. You know F-Zero, right?
Mm.
You know what F-Zero is, right?
No, not F-Zero.
F-Zero is like a space racing game.
I think it's a pod racer. Okay, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah.
This is, I guess, a shooter based on Redout. So Redout is like a fake F-Zero. This is like F-Zero meets space shooter. So like Galaga futuristic style, I guess. All right, Red Rain. Okay,
Rains looks good.
Well, let's see what this is. I'm curious now, since you said it's good.
No, the one below. Rain, not Red Rain.
Oh. Yeah, looks,
there's a historical strategy.
Well, game. I'm going to see what this is now that I've spent the time loading it. Okay, no, that's not, I mean, it's. I like the idea of it. No,
screw that. Like the other one looked more interesting.
Rains. Okay, let's open this one, see what it is. Oh, it's Devolver. Of course it's going to be a good game. Dude, yeah, Devolver Digital is behind a lot of good stuff.
I'm just telling you, it looked good. Read the description. It actually looked good.
Oh, but I don't care for this art style very much.
Fair enough. But it looks good.
I wonder if the other one is a different... Let's see. Reigns Beyond. Rockstars use Tinder?
What? What a three-word review.
I gotta see this. Oh my gosh, you're like literally swiping right.
That's funny.
Oh, I got nothing to say about that one. Okay.
They have a Samurai Jack game.
Yeah, Samurai Jack, 3D platformer. It's unlikely to appeal to a smaller, slightly younger audience.
Yeah, because they don't know who Samurai more Jack is.
Dude, I loved Samurai Jack. That was one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, man.
Essay, just for your own information, I have already pre-ordered the limited run games edition of Knights of the Republic 1. Knights of the Republic games are two of my favorite games of all time. And they are on the Apple. I have it right here. I'll show you. I literally have them on my device, both right there, both of the games on my iPhone. So I will definitely have them on the Switch. That's a fact. Okay, moving on. Samurai Jack the game. Whoops. The Breakdown from the Xbox should get a revamp. Oh, Breakdown. That's a game. Okay. All right. This looks... Wow. Look at that.
That's interesting.
That looks pretty good, actually, for a Samurai Jack
game. It looks basically like a show.
I've seen the ones on the GameCube. They don't look nearly as good as this does.
This looks better than the show did. I'll be honest.
It looks really good. I like the show, but this looks good.
No, art-wise. Art's like...
Yeah, art like, it's like the... It's like the... cell shading, but it's 3D cell shading instead of the 2D cell shading. Sayonara Wild Hearts. Apparently, this is a rhythm game with a bike.
Yeah.
Scrappers. Secret Ops. Shantae and the Seven Sirens. So, this is a new Shantae game that's Apple specifically. Samurai Jack sucks worse than Halo. What?
Wow.
That's pretty Shots bad, fired. Man. I love Samurai Jack, okay? They have not tainted that game yet, or that's franchise as bad as Halo's been tainted by the TV
show. You know, I'm not like the biggest Samurai Jack fan. The show is kind of
weird. I liked it a lot. I like Samurai Jack a lot. You're off the show, Andrew. No, I'm just kidding.
Dude, it was always on Adult Swim. You had to stay up late as shit to watch it.
I don't care. I watched it. The only thing I haven't seen is the sixth season.
Come on, Courage the Cowardly Dog was better.
Oh, no. That was a scary show for me when I was a kid. I did not like Courage the Cowardly Dog.
You didn't find Samurai Jack scary?
The opening episode of Courage the Cowardly Dog was the creepiest thing I have seen.
Yeah, but you never thought Samurai Jack was creepy?
No.
Really?
No, I always liked that one.
Okay. Interesting take, man.
You thought that was scarier than Courage
the Cowardly Dog? Was creepy as crap. I'm sure it gave kids I'm sure it gave kids trauma, but dang. Samurai Jack was on Adult Swim for a reason.
Just kidding. Nothing is worse than Halo.
It's fair. Unless you're Will.
Okay. I like Halo. I even like Halo Infinite. I don't like the Halo show. All right, let's see here. Skate City. Become Tony Hawk.
Wait, are we going through all 240?
We're just stopping on the ones we care about, okay?
But there's sociable soccer.
Sociable soccer. It's a football game for people who like football, so if you like football, give it a go. Otherwise, or others are more likely to appreciate the less straight-laced approach to the sport.
Okay.
I'm curious what this is. Let's see, Andrew. Are you interested in sociable soccer?
I'm confused as to why it's called sociable soccer. Is it like... What? Less straight-laced? It's just soccer. What are you...
Fast intuitive gameplay for touchscreen and controllers. Play games online or offline against friends, foes, and AI. Oh, because it's a 1v1.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not meant to be like... Well, it's got Dream Team, 25,000 upgradable player cards. So clearly, you're making money twice when you get this app. Okay,
it's ultra. It's
supported like the same way as Madden Ultimate Team. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. God, that is the stupidest thing I've ever. Like, if I was a football fan that played that, I would never in a million years do Madden Ultimate Team. No way.
They do the same thing for FIFA, man. We got two Sonic Racing. Here. Come on,
Sonic Racing is good. This is the same as the Sonic Racing on like the 360. The Wii
How
U, the
does
Vita.
It compare to Mario Kart?
It's actually really nice. I played it on the Vita, and on the Vita it plays really well. So I imagine it plays just as well on iPhone. I have not played it on iPhone because this came out after my 1 month I paid for expired after I tried all the games out.
You tried all of them?
Yeah, at the time when it launched, there was like 30 games. So I really just wanted to play Oceanhorn 2. That was the only reason I subscribed. And for $5, it was actually cheaper than buying Oceanhorn 1, which was like 15 when I bought it. All right, South of the Circle. And Oceanhorn 2, by the way, if you haven't already figured out, is actually really fun.
The one thing that you have said, maybe, I don't know. Just hope people aren't doing a drinking game off of how many times you compliment Oceanhorn 2.
Drink. No, just kidding. All right, South of the Circle. South of the Circle is a cinematic narrative-led adventure with animations. Space Land, Space Marine War.
Spell Drifter? That looks like a Dragon Age game.
I think it's League of Legends. I know it's a strategy card. How is this a strategy card?
I don't know, but it looks a lot like... It looks a lot like Dragon Age Origins. But that's just my...
Dragon Age Origins?
You know Dragon Age? Like the original.
I have it on my shelf over here. That does not look like Dragon Age.
Dude, it looks a lot like Dragon Age. The mechanics of Dragon Age Origins on how you played, yes, it looks a lot like it.
I'm going to have to check that game out. I thought Dragon Age was more like, maybe I'm thinking of a different Dragon Age game. I thought it was more like Mass Effect.
No, Dragon Age Origins, you had your different attacks. You had all the players that you were like flipping between in your party like as they ran around. And you had some weird stuff. You had some different
things. I'm never playing Dragon Age Origins then.
Dragon Age Origins is the most unlike the other ones, though. Okay. They changed it a lot later, but...
Yeah, I'm glad I haven't touched that one yet. Okay, Spell Tower Plus, Scrabble and Tetris. You get Spell Tower. That sounds interesting.
You don't remember Dragon Age Origins, though?
I've never played it.
You never played that one? It was so good.
That's Dragon Age Origins.
Yeah, see, that's if it looks just like Dragon Age Origins. Okay, there we go.
Spider Sores, 3-word review, thrills from 95. If you are still the mid-90s in your heart, you might like Spider Sores. Okay, I guess it's like a 90s game. Oh, SpongeBob Patty Pursuit. That would work.
play it now. You do need to play. Okay, have you played a Dragon Age game?
Is there one called Inquisition?
Yeah,
but that, yeah, I played that one. I think
terribly open worlded.
That's why I didn't like it. Okay,
so if you played, okay, Chris, go back and play Dragon Age Origins. You might not. It's not about the game. It's about the story. It really
is becoming the podcast of Andrew trying to convince me to play Dragon Age Origins.
Okay, it's still on topic. We barely made it. It's like half a page down.
No, we're almost all the way through. We're on S.
Oh my gosh.
This is alphabetical. Yeah,
exactly what SA says, man. It's the fighting was shit, but the story is fantastic, and the player-driven interactions are great.
Okay. Star Trek Legends, they got their own Star Trek game.
And a lot of them. That happens Stella, to a few.
2D Cinema Club. Stellar Commanders, one-on-one war games. This sounds like your kind of game.
There's another Sudoku. So.
No, I think this is the same Sudoku we looked at earlier when we weren't looking at this list. We were looking at what games were on it, remember?
Maybe.
90% sure that was the one we looked at earlier. But honestly, probably. If there was a Sudoku game with no ads, I would be willing to pay for that. Every Sudoku game I've ever opened up on the App Store has way too
many ads. Does it always have the ads like in the game? Oh,
that's this game?
Oh, this stupid thing?
Oh, no. Thank God. I was like, what? This is a different game. Whew. I was like, man, if it's that stupid run game I see.
Why was there a rocket ship on the cover was my question. I was like,
what the this looks like almost like if you were to do EVE Online on mobile.
No, it looks like Red Alert.
I'm messing with you. It looks like what now?
Red Alert.
Okay. Then you know more
a than mobile I. Red Alert. Huh?
You know more than I do about this. Super Impossible Road. Hectic ball balancing. Yep, not going to go into that one. Super Leap Day, fun retro platformer. It does look like fun.
Super Stickman Golf.
Three plus. Survival Z, it's a 10 zombie blaster. Oh, here we go. This is definitely Japanese. Taiko no Tatsujin. Pop, tap, beep. Beep, beat. Oh, my goodness. It's a drum beating game.
They got Tales of Mimo.
Yeah. Takeshi and Hiroshi. So tearjerkers. This that's like a story-based game. It's like actually pretty interesting. Oh, it's an apron. I was like, is this person nude? What is this? Okay. Chest infection. Tales of Memo, whatever. Open up a chest and then try to open up another chest with the same number of inside to clear the pair. Oh god, I thought they meant like operation, like you're slicing open people's chests. Gosh. I'm like, oh my gosh, what is this? Oh my god! So it's basically a memory game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it says chest infection. Of course, I was gonna think that's what that was.
Yeah, no, definitely not that, man.
Oh yeah, no. Red Alert was a good game. I loved the live cast. All right, Temple Run. Oh, there's a Temple Run puzzle game. Tetris Beach. This is your thing. That conspiracy, Andrew. The Brad.
It's a puzzle walking sim.
I'm joking. The College Atlas. It's a monochrome meditation thing. I don't know, man. Enchanted World. Slide.
It's a puzzle, I think.
The Get Out Kids. One for.
What about The Last Campfire?
There's a soulful loneliness to The Last Campfire that gives its shadowed world a sense of magic. It's a lovely game brought together by a rather wonderful voiceover narration and affecting score. Gameplay is based around light puzzling with either tap to navigate controls or virtual joystick. The emphasis on storytelling gives this game an unusual weight. They recommend it. Mournful but magical.
Hmm.
Should we click and see what's in this?
Sure. See what how they actually do it.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see. It definitely has its own. Oh, I was going to say, is this going to switch to a different art style like the last one did?
No, it actually looks nice.
But you notice all of the Apple Arcade games are available for Mac, iPhone, iPad, and Apple TV.
Kind of tell what it's intended for when they show it on Mac. Screenshots are for Mac, you know? They want that to be the first
one. No, it's because I'm on a desktop browser.
Oh. Well, the screenshots just changed, it looked like, but...
Slightly. I keep changing from one to the next. Okay. Looks like a good game. The art style is definitely different than what I was
expecting. It looks good, actually.
The Oregon Trail, as if you haven't played that
classic game. Classic. When you want to die from dysentery.
The other side. Fantasy board game.
Huh.
What is this?
How did they do that?
I love turn-based games.
You know you want the Pinball Wizard, actually.
I think I've heard good things about that, actually.
Is it?
The other side. Let's see what this is. Okay, so this one does not have a Mac counterpart, but it doesn't mean it won't play on Mac. We'll see. This looks like your kind of game almost, Andrew. Guns a-blazing, Moving in. Yeah, this is like almost like that Breakers.
Yeah, door kickers.
Door kickers, that's the one.
Yeah. That's a good game.
Honestly, this looks kind of like it. Other than the dice rolling.
Right. That's a little weird.
Huh. Might have to check that one out, actually. The Pathless. Where am I? An open world game from... Oh, Abzu. Okay, so that's the guys that... isn't Abzu like the underwater game?
I'm not sure, actually.
Yeah, I don't know. Pinball Wizard. Pinball Dungeon Crawler? This is pinball, in which your ball becomes the weapon to take out rooms of fantasy-themed nasties.
Okay.
The Room, too. So the Room is like one of those escape room things. So this is perfect for this stuff. Like, honestly, this is one of those games that I'm like, this makes complete sense why this would be on the Apple Arcade. Any kind of escape room where you have to find things, like a point and click, perfect for mobile. For example, there is actually one Nancy Drew game that was converted to iPad. And I don't understand why Her Interactive has avoided converting other games, but they did with Ghosts of Thornton Hall. Nancy Drew as a point and click on the iPad is a freaking perfect conversion.
So I find it odd that Nancy Drew wouldn't be exclusive to mobile, given the fact that, you know, its target audience would probably be the kids with
they did phones. Their own spin-off Nancy Drew thing on the iPad. The only reason I've played the Ghost of Thornton, I actually finished it. It was really well done. It was because Madeline likes those games, and I was like, I'll try it. You know, my wife likes them. I'll try it. She played through it, then I played through it. They did a really good job converting it for mobile, and I can't, like, understand why that's the only one that's made it to mobile so far. It makes no sense to me. It works perfect.
You think they would do more?
You would think. Survivalist, Retro, Don't Starve. The Things That Go Bump. Exorcist Goes in Heaven. Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh. Tint. It's just coloring.
Cuzzling? What the heck does that mean? I'm not googling that one. Cuzzling? I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that's supposed to mean. I just had a total
try. He's mixing cartoon and puzzling together.
Yeah, it's a cuzzler. A coloring puzzler.
Jeez. Threes plus sticky simple sums. They're simple sticky sums. Why do you guys wear sticky in there? That's kind of weird.
Thumper sticky pocket just shouldn't exist with a touch screen. It triggers me.
Neon Space Racing, high energy, fast paced, and set to a booming soundtrack. Thumper. I think this is the same. I think they had a version of Thumper came to the Vita. See if I can see the cover art, and I'll tell you whether it is. I remember a game that looked like this. Yep, this is the one that I saw on the Vita. So this was on the Vita at one point in time.
Okay.
It's really fast-paced, futuristic, racer, rhythm, beat game thing. Okay. It's fun. It's not, like, I wouldn't pay for it, but it's fun.
Tiny Crossword Plus. Why is it tiny?
Tiny Wings is a super fun game. When that first came out on the iPod Touch back in, like, 2008, 2009...
This was why is everything called game. Tiny, though?
Because at the time, I mean, think about how tiny the screen of the iPod
was. Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
So this was, and plus it has tiny wings. It can't actually fly.
Right.
It just bounces off the hill and goes, shoo, woo. It's like...
looks like Flappy Bird.
It's like an endless... No. It's like an endless runner. It's a side-scroller. And Tiny Wings is you have to, like, hold the screen while it's going down and let go at the right moment to get the maximum propulsion into the air. And you're kind of trying to land in between the hills. It's a super fun game. I wasted countless hours as a teenager playing this back in like 2009, 2010, whatever time frame the iPod Touch came out and this was out, I spent a lot of time playing it. Probably more time than I played Flappy Bird, which is pretty hard to do.
I was just saying that the bird looked like Flappy Bird.
No, the gameplay is nothing like it. Nintendo Switch is the school girl zombie shooter? Or is this a game?
I think he's saying a game.
Okay.
UFO on tape. First contact.
Tawaga Among Shadows. 3-word review. Blast them up. Towers of Everland.
Okay, 3-word.
I am Beholder.
That looks kind of cool.
UFO on tape. X-Files Lite. The short adventure game sees you follow a tightly scripted sequence in each level. Your control consists of operating your DSLR camera to take pictures of UFOs and other phenomena to send to the fake news media. I love this description.
It's funny.
Ultimate Rivals. This is a skating game. Various Daylife for JRPG fans. Let's see what this is. I think this is a Apple Arcade exclusive. I could be wrong.
This kart racing game that's coming up on the list is pretty.
Yeah, I think this is the exclusive one. It's like a really interesting JRPG game. It's got a very interactive,
cool art style.
It's very much meant to be like you're on your phone a lot throughout the game, if I remember correctly. Because look, it's like almost like you're on your phone guiding these people. You see, like the top half, bottom half guidance here,
right? Like your home base or something.
Like your phone is like part of the, like you're sitting here looking at your phone and your friends are in front of you. Right. This sounds like real life.
Oh my gosh. It's the kids who are in a room texting each other.
Warp drive. That is the most sad thing ever when people sit in the same room and text each other. Like,
yes.
Unless you're trying to hide it from somebody else. Like if you and I are on the podcast, we're texting while Will's on with us. Like Will's being so dumb. Like, honestly, if we ever did a podcast on social cultural issues, I would absolutely rip into anybody who's sitting on their phone when you're in the room with people that, you know, that you don't see all the time or your friends. Like,
right.
I can understand being like, you got nothing to talk about and you're just sitting in silence and nobody's talking, like, sure, whatever. But when people are having a conversation, why are you on your phone?
Right, right.
I mean, we're all guilty of it. Even me, I'm guilty of it too. But why are you on your phone? All right.
Well, look at the warped cart racers. That one
coming soon.
Yeah, you got all those main characters. Look at that.
I guess if you really don't like the people in the room with you, maybe that's the hint. Maybe you should not be in that room anymore. What? This is freaking Family Guy. And what?
Yeah, man. That's what I was saying. What? That's why I said it looked interesting.
I did not see this in the description.
Family Guy. I told you American the characters Dad. You could play as.
Wait, Hank Hill? That's Hank Hill.
Yeah, man. Look, this is actually probably something that's going to be good. I'm not going to lie. What?
This is incredible.
This is actually a solid.
Has anybody actually played it? Is there any reviews?
No, it's coming soon, man. Coming soon.
The other game they done was Destination Racing. So they've already got some racing under their belt.
Don't even care. It has to be.
Andrew's like, decent. I am going to be subscribing for 1 month.
I don't even care because look, okay, they had it has to have some quality because they got all of this IP to work Stewie! With. Do you think they would be allowed to use these characters if it was going to be complete trash?
Yeah, probably.
You think they would let that? Okay, fine.
Can Hank Hill's run on propane? I really hope it runs on propane.
It's just funny. That's going to be fun. I feel like that's going to be fun.
Probably.
The art style looks kind of cool, too.
Way of the Turtle. 3-word review. Turtle versus Sonic? What? No. Sonic's in this, or is it just messing around? Way of the Turtle. Oh, God. What the heck is that?
Art?
Oh, no. That was the wrong screenshot. Like, what the this has happened so many times with the wrong screenshot. So
it looks like a turtle, Sonic Turtle. It actually does look a lot like it.
Salt and Sanctuary and Salt and Sacrifice are really great games. I don't think that they're on. Was it in the list? Did I miss that? Let me just double check.
What? I'm never going to find it back again.
Let's find out. Did I miss those? Because I do like those games. They're like side-scrolling Dark Souls. No, they're not on this list. Not. Okay. They are on mobile, though. I just don't remember if they're on Apple. I know they're on the Vita. Salt and Sacrifice is on the Vita. Or Salt and Sanctuary is on the Vita. Sorry. Okay, let's keep going.
Gotta find the turtles again.
Turtle. Okay.
Are you turtly enough for the Turtle Club?
Yeah, What the Golf, Where the Cards Fall, Winding Worlds, Wonder Box.
Okay, that looks cool.
Captain Toad. So Captain Toad's a good game. This is legit like Captain Toad, then yeah. World Laces, Simple Word Matchmaking. See, a lot of these games are fun for I have 5 minutes at the doctor's office.
Mm-hmm.
All right, World of Demons, Become the Samurai. World's End Club, so Underwater Battle Royale. So can I be Aquaman? That's the real question. Word Web, Yaga, the role-playing folktale. Unusually, Pinball, so this is a folksy RPG?
Huh. It's a folktale.
No, the
Czech Slavic. It's Slavic.
What's amazing to me is these games, these 240 games, have earned Apple a revenue of $1.2 billion.
Yeah, I told you, it's parents.
They don't know what they're getting their kids into.
They don't know, man.
Okay. They have no idea.
It's mind control games. Just look at what the words are.
They're making all those the freaking Scrabble games. No, I'm just kidding.
Just look at all the words in those Scrabble games. Guarantee it's conditioning them to think a certain way. No, no, probably not.
They're making the freaking front. Just kidding.
Oh, you're going that way. Okay.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I got to re-click this. It ain't going. Let's try again. I was doing some filler there. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
It's Slavic, though.
Slavic.
So it's going to be a quest for vodka.
Vodka. Okay, I mean it's definitely
The art style is kind of cool for a mobile game.
I like seeing some of these more unusual and original art styles.
Yeah,
makes me happy.
I like the third one. I like the third one over.
I like that art is not dead. That's what I like.
Yeah,
that we have new art styles still in a world that's oversaturated.
Okay, we went through the whole thing with the Zookeeper World, man.
Pinballs Heroes. Got to go by. Have a good night, SA. Zookeeper World.
Yeah, click that. Let's see what it looks like.
I think this one's actually pretty good. I thought I remember seeing this in like the previews. Unless this isn't what I'm thinking of.
This actually kind of cool. No,
it's not what I'm thinking of. Eh, that doesn't do it for me. It's definitely more of a kid's game.
It's cool for kids.
Could be. I don't know.
We're building a zoo, man.
I'm not going to play it. Don't care.
We're building a zoo. Right.
Anyways, just to finish out this entire thing, like, you know, with things like the Backbone controller, the Nimbus Plus, all of these accessories for Apple Gaming, and the fact that they made $1.2 billion off Apple Arcade with another $8 billion off of essentially just gaming in general. Like Apple is rolling in the dough when it comes to gaming.
Not just
Can the rest of these companies even compete with Apple, given the number of devices that Apple has in the ecosystem of mobile?
You need Samsung, too, really, or Google.
Well, what's funny is they did a study, and I think I remember reading this in 2018 or so. The bulk of the mobile gaming market buys Apple devices, not Google devices.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's one of those things where Apple has such an ecosystem, right, that not many people can escape it once they're in it.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm not going to be leaving the Apple ecosystem anytime soon.
But at the same time, it's like, they have the ecosystem for the phone, then you have the watch, the iPad. Yeah, I mean, you have all this stuff, right?
Those AirPods, people aren't iPad, yeah, iPhone.
Those people aren't necessarily TV. Mac users either, but a large portion are. And then Apple TV as well. Like, I don't know. It just comes off as though Apple has managed to capture a large audience and then keep you as an audience. I don't know if you can really break that market. It's pretty strong.
So using the M1 chip across all their devices, I think, is the end goal for everything. Like, they might keep a mobile processor just for like the iPhone.
Right.
But overall, M1 is the future. They want the iPad to run on it, which it is now. They want the Mac, all of the Mac line to run on it. And eventually, they probably want their desktop computers using it too, if they even keep the desktop
line. If they keep it. Yeah.
Because you write an app once and it works everywhere. You write a game once, it works everywhere. All of the services are powered by the M1. Everything can run on M1.
See,
powerful.
We've talked about it in the past, right? Where with Micro, I think it would have to be Google or Microsoft that's competing with Apple on this. And as of right now, Google's kind of dead on the water on this, so it's going to be Microsoft.
Well, Google's already infiltrated all the schools with the Google Chromebooks. Like, every school essentially has Chromebooks.
No, I'm not talking about that, though. phones. Because mobile gaming is like the entry for most children into gaming. It's a subscription service.
So by Google, you actually meant Microsoft's already failed, because Google is infiltrated. They got a huge
market. No, Google with phones. Like, Google would have to be the, like, one of the people to compete.
Yeah, directly. But they own the Google Play Store, so who cares?
Well, I'm saying if they wanted to do like a subscription service, like Apple, to try to.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's fair.
With Stadia, maybe they were thinking it, but they roll everything out poorly. I don't think Google could manage it. Microsoft, I'm wondering if, because we've talked about it in the past, right? With Microsoft maybe merging all of their products under the Surface lineup because of its just the way it, the branding is. Everyone's so positive with it. And I'm wondering if that small, the small Surface thing that they just released, the, you know, the dual screen foldable thing.
Oh, that's just, that thing is trash. Don't
you? Yeah, even. And I'm wondering if that's them flirting with a mobile phone again.
It is, but it isn't.
It is, but it isn't. But they did Android on it, which was stupid.
Right.
And I'm wondering if Microsoft is considering mobile gaming and having a phone as part of the Surface lineup, as well as the Xbox. I'm just wondering, like, if that's the route they're going to go in the long term and have Game Pass be like their main, just with that main subscription focus. I don't know. It's because without having the phone, the tablet, the laptop, the desktop, the TV, whatever, it's like, it's kind of hard to compete with what Apple has. It'd be far easier for Apple to expand themselves versus the other way around.
You're totally right about that. Like, Apple has, don't open that yet. Just wait till after the podcast.
Okay.
The ecosystem that Apple has built between their music speakers, their laptops, mm-hmm. their computers, it is basically an impossible market to compete with. Like, having that many devices and continuing to maintain the success based on their line's quality
and the ability to do interoperability. So yeah, strong.
They've done a really good job with that.
That's the reason people don't leave, because you can't just exchange one product. You have to exchange all your products.
Apple has built a loyalty to their product line because of the quality you can expect when you buy. Like, you'll pay extra for an Apple device because you know that the quality is there.
They've built a lifestyle more than a product.
Kind of like Nintendo. You know that Nintendo's IPs are going to be good,
right?
Regardless of the power of the hardware they're selling you. Like, mm-hmm. you know that even if you buy a 3DS, all of the games on it by Nintendo will be good games.
Right.
So you're willing to pay for that, even if you're not sure about the product or the idea of the product. You're like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Let's just try it. Like the Switch. How many people bought the Switch just based on Nintendo's IP?
A lot. Everyone.
Whereas when you're buying PlayStation or Xbox, you're buying it for not only their IP, you're buying it because they have other games.
In fairness to Nintendo, though, the Switch did bring the magic that was the Wii.
It brought a lot of different magic.
But
yeah. And that's why people are willing to subscribe to Apple Arcade, because they trust Apple's curation.
Well, right now, though, I would say that Microsoft has achieved the same product quality expectations with the Surface line, which is why I could see them trying to merge it with the Xbox line, as we discussed previously. And it would make sense because it has nothing but goodwill towards it. There's no negative.
The Xbox, though, the Xbox brand has a sour taste. It had a sour taste from the Xbox One.
Yeah.
But the hardware, in my opinion, the hardware of the Xbox has always been quality, except for the original 360s.
Well, with the Red Ring of Death.
Yeah, they recovered from that eventually.
But if they're going towards a streaming service and the console itself becoming, like, whatever route they're going, I could see wanting that more premium Surface branding. That expectation of like more luxury good versus cheap console. I could see that. I don't know. I could see them trying to bring a phone into the picture too. But then they also rolled out that stupid Android tablet and I lost all expectations because that seemed sloppy. That felt real sloppy. Totally,
I feel like they had a game plan for it, and then once they produced it, the game plan was lost by the market changing. And right. then at that point, they're like, all right, well, we've already made this. We might as well release it.
Right. Like, I feel like they would have been better off still trying to keep Windows on it. Or maybe the old school Surface Windows 8, was it, or whatever. They had a lot of that. It's, I don't know. It just seems like Android was a terrible, terrible choice.
It seems more like a product you'd see at like an auto show, like a concept car, a concept phone almost.
It is a concept phone. It's 100% a concept phone. But like, my problem with it was that it doesn't feel like a Surface.
No.
Product.
It doesn't look like one either.
It doesn't look like one. It doesn't vibe like one. It, like, the quality doesn't seem there, especially when you put Android on it. Not to shit on Android, but it's too hard. But it rarely looks like a premium product.
It's Android. It's too hard. It's just the way you said that.
Oh, no, I don't want to shit on Android too hard, but like...
Oh, you don't want to... Okay, you don't want
to... Yeah, I don't want to shit on it too hard, but it's not a premium product. Looking Android product.
Is not, nor ever will be, a premium product, in my opinion. And that's not because Android's
unless it's on the Pixel
operating system.
Unless it's on the Pixel, it can be a premium product on the Pixel because Google controls the operating
system. I was just going to say, because the overall Android operating system is almost always a mirror of what Apple's doing. Sure. They do innovate. They do innovate more than Apple does, but they also kind of, what's the word? It's like they put something out too early, they pull it back, they fix it, and they put it back out. And by the time they put it back out, Apple's done it better. Like, their iteration is never as good as Apple's iteration.
See, look at the images of this thing, and it's like, when it's closed, it looks like a premium product.
Oh, yeah.
But you open it, and then you're getting, like, shit. I'm sorry. It's not good looking once you open it. It has
a terrible bezel. Let's move on from this, okay? Let's just forget this thing is a thing. Just to finish it off, I just want to say this.
No, yeah, finishing it off, like, going back to the questions, like, no one's going to catch up. The main people who compete with it are nowhere near the two. They're nowhere near it. Because to do that, you need to capture, like, what the parents are using and everything.
The top 1% of spenders on the Apple App Store made up for 64% of sales on the App Store, almost $3,000 per year. These players run as whales and are often the target for microtransactions and free-to-play games. Maybe we should do a whole video on whales and why they're ruining the gaming industry.
You're talking about parents that let their kids just buy whatever they want on
their games? Whales. People that actually intend to spend money on these games.
Bullshit. No one goes and intends to pay almost $3,000 on games.
So no, it's like gambling addiction. It's the same thing.
That's not intentional, man. That's not intentional. If you're an addict, that's not intentional.
Whales, in my opinion, whales have made microtransactions so profitable that these companies can't stop themselves.
Microtransactions only became a thing because of mobile.
Yeah, that's a fact. Well, and Bethesda and their horse armor, but that's besides the point.
That's minor, man.
I want to get back to this one last thing I want to say. It's the last thing I want to say, and then you can jump in if you got anything else to say. But
all right.
In current times, Apple is pulling more money than every other gaming company out there. And then mobile market is strong, but dedicated gamers still prefer dedicated gaming hardware, which is why the gaming market still exists and why they can coexist. That is my opinion.
My opinion mirrors yours a lot. I would say, though, that the biggest mistake people make is assuming that those are the same markets. They're completely separate markets, and the gamer base is highly different. Like the sheer quantity, just the demographic that makes up mobile gaming is much more full of women. There's a lot more women mobile gamers.
It's the same market share that this company was trying to get before they became a scam.
But like, they're going to make, they make so much money because it's easy.
Look
to
at these articles.
Oh gosh.
Okay, sorry, keep going.
No. All I'm saying is, like, they're not the same market. They found a bigger market.
Yeah.
That's geared towards younger audience and people who just will never play that whole thing, you know?
And in the words of the famous Tommy Tallarico, approximately 30 to 100 million hardcore gamers exist at any given time.
Right.
The rest of the world has mobile phones, and they are called casual gamers. And if you can corner that market, you can make a lot more money.
Right. And then on top of that, they're making all that money with significantly less effort.
Yeah.
Significantly less effort. So you got to hand it to them. It's impressive.
Oh, yeah.
It's impressive.
And they got rid of Fortnite, and they're still making that money.
Oh, my God. Did they get rid of Fortnite because it was too addictive to children and they weren't making as much money?
No, because Fortnite tried to sidestep their walled garden by offering in-app purchases. I don't know if it ever made it back on the App Store. I'm curious now. Let's find out. Fortnite.
I thought they did. But, no, it's like maybe they were too with those purchase issues, though. But they were like, Apple wasn't making enough money off of it.
I'm curious now, though, if Fortnite actually made it back on.
I thought it was.
It probably has by now. No. Oh. No,
it hasn't. Are you on your phone?
Yeah. Fortnite is not on the store. It's still not. Holy cow. They're making that much money in Fortnite, the most popular app pretty much of all time.
They have PUBG, though.
PUBG, you mean PUBG?
PUBG. No, I want the PUBG version with nothing but pugs. That would be great.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no Fortnite. Holy cow. I can't believe Fortnite's still in. I think Fortnite said, like, this isn't enough, and Epic's like, we're gonna do our own thing. I think they're kind of trying to run like what Microsoft did, where Game Pass runs in the browser. They're trying to make Fortnite run in the Apple browser. It's possible. Anyways, that's not important. But yeah, Apple's making that much money with no Fortnite. So I am all done if you are. I think Andrew's mic died. It did. It totally did. All right. So I'm going to just let Andrew. Oh, is he back? I don't know. Is he back? Okay. I can hear stuff, Andrew.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to call this one good, though.
All right.
But all I'm going to say is it's insane that everybody ignores Apple as a gaming company, and yet they make this much money on gaming.
And you had to wonder if they have higher ambitions.
They probably do. Honestly, if the Apple TV ever became like Apple Station or something more like clearly significant, that it's more than just the Apple TV.
Then I think Microsoft might have beat them to the punch with the Game Pass, and now they're currently watching. I think maybe they're watching and seeing because they're building
Apple,
the infrastructure.
Apple Arcade is supposed to be bigger than what it is.
Maybe. It might have been. And now they're just waiting to see. Because if it becomes more popular, you know, maybe.
I think Apple should go full tilt and call it the Apple Core.
No. That'd be awful.
All right. That's it. That's all I got. So hopefully you guys enjoyed this podcast. It's actually gone longer than I promised Andrew would go. So he's up later. So make sure you guys drop a like in the video here. And if you're watching on Spotify or anywhere else, make sure you guys follow the podcast. We really enjoy having more interactions rather than less interactions. And coming soon to a theater near you. No, not a theater, but coming soon to a new podcast. We'll be doing some more STEM related stuff, some technology, you know, maybe some tech. I just said tech. Now I'm losing my brain here. tech and what was the other thing we talked about? Science, some more science based stuff. Like, I think we're going to be doing a podcast with Installation 00 and a guy named Dashy Jinx. If y'all are in the Installation 00 podcast Discord server, you'll know who I'm talking about. If you're not, then you won't. But we want to talk about AI. So that'll be a fun topic. Mm-hmm. And he's got a British accent, so you'll love it. All right.
Got to class it up a bit.
Exactly. As always, I am Chris.
And I'm Andrew.
And we will see you
on the next Krillcast.
Keep it real, like real Krill. Ah.